I feel strange. We're spinning off the planet. We don't know where we're going. That's the thing. I never knew where I was going. It's like I've been living this for a long time. And now everyone is catching up with me. Strange.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Walking Dead series by The Verdict's In. I'm your host, Nicole.
I'm Garrett.
And today we are talking about Fear, The Walking Dead, season finale, season one, episode six, entitled The Good Man. It was written by Dave Erickson and Robert Kirkman. Robert Kirkman, they're both the creator of the show, but Robert Kirkman was the creator of the graphic novel The Walking Dead.
Okay.
Yep, David Erickson, he has been a producer on Marco Polo, Sons of Anarchy, and also, he's done several episodes of Fear the Walking Dead. And it was
Marco Polo was great.
Oh, Marco Polo is probably my favorite Netflix series.
Yeah, maybe.
I think so.
You know, it's between that and House of Cards.
Well, I can't really say for sure because we haven't watched season three of House of Cards. And I heard it kind of went down.
Yeah, you're right.
I love Marco Polo.
I don't know if you're right about it went down, but yeah, you're right. We still need to watch season three.
Right. Well, I know when we watched Marco Polo, when we finished it, we were like, should we watch it again? Like, that's how much we enjoyed it.
Right.
It was really good. If you haven't watched Marco Polo, go watch it. It's good. Don't watch in front of kids. It's a lot of sex scenes, a lot of graphic stuff. Well, you know, if you're watching, you'll see automatically. It's not for children.
Yeah.
And it was directed by Steven Schwartz, who has done Power, The Americans, Dexter, and The Walking Dead as well.
Okay.
All right. So before we get into our recap, what did you think of the episode?
You know what I thought.
You know me.
Yeah, this was a great episode. Well, you know, I throw the word great around a lot, but compared to the rest of the episodes,
yeah,
this was like a 100% improvement.
Right.
So I guess I'm going to toss that word great again.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I mean, it had really nothing to do with necessarily all the walkers or the infected. It was more just that they were moving, I guess. I guess I don't really like in shows when they're at a standstill, like when they're at the house, they're at the community. It's like, okay, let's get to moving.
See, I don't mind that so much. I don't mind if they're at a standstill as long as there's a story to be told.
Okay.
As long as everything's in line. We're learning something while they're standing still.
Right.
But if they're standing still and not doing nothing, yeah, kind of crazy.
Yeah.
You know, while they're standing still, the story's standing still.
But for the first time, I will say that I'm excited for season two. Like, every time we watch this episode, I'm like, I'm not really that excited for the next one. But seeing how it ended, maybe they're going to go on that boat. That's going to be cool. I don't think we've ever seen that before.
Right.
So that's going to be fun. All right. So if it's your guys' first time listening in, how we do our recap is we do our likes, our dislikes. Then we have an award and a prediction. Or before the awards and the prediction, we also do any listener letters. And then awards and predictions. All right, so let's go ahead and start off with our like. I liked that Daniel rode up on the military. Like, he seemed very confident, a little cocky when he came up to him. I was like, damn, they're about to shoot Daniel. Like, I was really kind of scared for him.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, him having those walkers behind him kind of came as a shock to me.
Yeah, that was a badass scene.
Yeah, it was badass, even though I disagree with it. I don't agree with his actions, because that has to be scary. Like, I don't even think Rick would do something like that in season five as Rick now. But Daniel seeing him do it season one, it was badass. But at the same time, it was like, was it believable? Was it dumb?
But see, you can't really compare Rick and Daniel to each other.
Right.
Because Daniel is a trained, I guess, assassin.
Yeah.
A trained terrorist.
He's like Jason Bourne.
Right. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
And Rick was, you know, he was a sheriff. So, you know, he had the, I guess, police training.
Right.
But he don't have that military or, you know, I don't
that survival really training. He right. doesn't have that survival instinct.
I don't think we know what Rick did before he was a police officer.
No, I mean, I don't think he had anything other serious than just the police officer.
Okay.
And it seemed like it was a small town, so it was probably not that much action going on.
Yeah.
But I liked it. What'd you think of Daniel rolling up on them? Just that whole thing, letting the walkers out.
I like that Daniel is always prepared. He always have a strategy. You never see Daniel just do anything on the spur of the moment. He already has a plan laid out. Like when his daughter brought Andy to him.
Right.
They planned that out. You know, his daughter was at the gate. You know, we thought she was about to get shot. She was acting a fool. And it was all, a ploy to get Andy to her father's house.
Yeah, although I don't think she knew he was going to torture Andy, but still.
But still, Daniel knew what he was going
to
do.
Yeah. Well, Daniel knew what he was willing to do. He's like, I'll ask him questions. If he's not giving me the answers I feel I deserve, then I'll do what I got
to
do.
You know what? Daniel already planned to torture him.
Like, no matter what.
No matter what. Because you have to think about it. The guy said, I'll tell you whatever you need to know, which we found out was a lie, but still.
Yeah, we'll see. Daniel knows when people are lying.
I just think it's cool to have Daniel with them, period. Because we've never seen anybody with this much training with a group. Well, I guess so, because what's the guy with the orange hair?
On the Walking Dead? Abraham.
Yeah, Abraham. He's a part of the military, right?
Yeah. Abraham's pretty badass, yeah. But I think Daniel's even more badass. I can't see Abraham torturing some. Well, maybe. Yeah, he did beat the shit out of Eugene, now think about it. So he probably would torture somebody.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, beating the shit out of somebody and torturing somebody is two different things. Because, so you never know. No,
Travis beat the shit out of Andy.
Yeah, and I don't think Travis could ever torture someone. Not now. Maybe season 4, Travis.
Maybe.
If we get there.
Yeah, I'll say if there's a season 4. Let's get past season 2.
Yeah. All right, next up is Nick and Strand's relationship / friendship / bromance. I'm really feeling it. I love the whole, every time they were on screen together, I loved it. When Nick said, I'm miserable in here, and Strand's like, picture you somewhere else with the needle in your arm. I like died. I'm like, you were so mean. Like, why would you say that? But it was just so funny at the same time.
Yeah, Strand is bold.
Yeah, yeah. He's crazy.
And I think he was a good addition to the show.
Yeah. I like him. And then even when Nick or Strand's looking for his key and Nick pulls it out and is like, aha, like, yeah, heroin addiction is the gold standard. See how I swiped you and you didn't even know it.
Right.
So I just like them all together on screen. Even when I thought they were about to die together, I was like, oh, no. But I like their friendship, or what's going to soon become a friendship.
It's like they made sense together. You know, their storyline is a lot better than a lot of other ones.
Yeah, because every time they were on screen, I was getting excited. Yeah. And not only that, if you notice, Strand doesn't see himself as a me anymore. Because Nick was like, are you really going to let those people just die in the gate? You know, the people that were still locked up in the little makeshift prison. And Strand's like, no, we're going to leave those people. And then later on, Nick says something again about, like, you or me, and Strand changed it to we.
Yeah.
So Strand already sees them as kind of a package deal. Like, even when Nick said, can we stay here? No. No one's staying here. Like, we're all leaving.
Yeah.
It could have been so easy for Strand to be like, do what you guys want. I'm getting on the boat, because he does know it's the end of the world. But he's like, no, we're all leaving. No one's staying here.
I wonder what Strand's occupation is.
I don't know. But I noticed when you just said that right now, I noticed when he was packing, he was packing like he was going to work. Like, all his shirts were, like, office, you know, button-up, collared shirts.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, you need to pack some sweats and a t-shirt. You're going to be on the run. You need to be comfortable. Like, what are you packing a button-up for? We'll see how that works out for him.
Well, he's probably into development.
Maybe, yes. Because he said he would gentrify the shit out of the city that they live in.
Yeah.
So maybe he is in development or something. I mean, his house was nice.
And when Nick told him the area he stayed in, he knew it right away.
Right.
He was like, okay, yeah, that's a...
Did he say blue-collared?
Yeah, he did say blue-collared. Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he says a blue-collar, middle-class neighborhood. Did he say mixed neighborhood?
Yeah, mixed neighborhood.
Okay. So you know he does his research. Or he might be a politician. I mean, the military, they knew him.
Yes.
But then again, wouldn't Nick know him if he was a politician?
I mean, Nick's a crackhead. I mean, how would he know? He doesn't know what's going on. He may not even know who the president is right now. I mean, we heard Nick at the beginning. Oh, that I love that quote. I love that quote played at the beginning of the episode when Nick, you know, when Nick was telling his mom, he doesn't really know what's been going on in the world. He's been lost his whole life, and now everyone's kind of lost with him. But we'll get to that because that's later on my list. But yeah, just Nick and Strand's relationship. I liked it. They're kind of like the new Rick and Daryl. I don't know which one is Rick. I don't know which one is Daryl.
They're not the new Rick and Daryl.
Okay.
They're the new Nick and Strand.
Okay, they're the new Carol and Daryl. I don't know.
Or are they just the Nick and Strand?
Okay. They're not the new one, Gary's saying.
I mean, they're just new.
Okay. We'll go with that.
They're the new thing.
All right, so humanity. That was very big in this episode. You know, is it a, like we just said, is it a we or is it a me? And that was discussed a lot in this episode.
Right.
I first thought Ophelia lost her humanity because she was like, when they were leaving, Madison was like, oh no, I haven't told my neighbors. And Ophelia's like, oh well, like they left us when the military came for us, no one came and helped us. So I was like, damn, Ophelia's cold-blooded.
I don't think she's being cold-blooded. I think she's being honest. Because they came in and took her mother. Yeah, she's going to feel a little bitter about it.
Yeah, but at this point, you know they're going to die. Like, it's not like, oh, well, we're deciding to leave.
Well, the thing is, she doesn't know if her mother died yet. Remember, they're going to save them.
Right.
So right now, it's like an eye for an eye.
Okay. Well, at the end of the episode, I don't think she lost her humanity. Because when she saw all those bodies, dead bodies outside, when they left, finally... Yeah. And she start breakdown crying, I realize, okay, she's not, that was like a persona. She's not hard like that yet.
Yeah, she's not hard.
And then even with them letting Daniel, or not letting Daniel, but Daniel letting all those walkers out, he knew a lot of people were going to die doing that. And it didn't seem like Madison or Travis cared either. So it's like,
I don't think he knew a lot of people was going to die. I think he knew that that would occupy him.
Yeah, but... I mean,
this is a military base.
Yeah, and that's... we'll talk about that a little later. And then Alicia and Chris's conversation when he was worried about them, and Alicia's like, well, would you rather everyone die, or you can't save everyone? So once again, it's kind of getting not necessarily cold-blooded, but it's kind of just coming to that realization that you can't save everyone. But Chris, he didn't really want to hear that at that point. And then even with Liza debating to go with the military, she could have saved her life. Remember when they said, come on, ma'am? And then she looked back and she realized she wanted to go back for Nick. So her deciding not to save herself, but to risk her own life and go back for Nick.
Well, that was the plan anyway.
What? To go back for Nick?
To go back for Nick. Remember her plan was to go back. Well, it wasn't for Nick. I'm sorry. I'm wrong. Because when they were talking about leaving with the military, her plan was to take her son
and Travis
with her. Take Chris and Travis. So I guess she did decide to go get Nick at the last minute.
Yeah, she knew that Nick was still in there. Because at this point, she didn't know Nick and Strand got out. She's like, I'm going to go back for Nick.
Right. So she was willing and dealing for herself.
And then even the military, the people that are there to save people. At what point do you stop trying to save other people because it's too great of a risk? And that's where we see the military fly away. Remember, Dr. Exner sees him fly away. Now, real quickly, I'm not trying to skip ahead, but that same helicopter that flew away, is that the same helicopter that was at the end when they were driving to Strand's house? Remember, you're like, did that zombie just say die? That zombie was in a helicopter that crashed.
Yeah, right.
It may not be the same helicopter, but it's kind of cool to think, hey, that might be the same helicopter.
It wasn't the same helicopter.
Okay, how can you tell?
Because it was a smaller helicopter.
Okay.
The helicopter that was coming to pick them up, that was like a stretch limo. It was a pretty nice size helicopter.
What did you think about Strand getting back his cufflinks from that guy?
I don't know what I thought about it. That lets me know that those cufflinks really meant a lot to him.
Right.
And remember last episode when the guy tried to take him, he was like, well, I only have one.
Mm-hmm.
So he's willing to give up one, but he wasn't going to give up both. So it lets me know that those cufflinks have... It means a lot to him.
Yeah, sentimental value.
Yeah, sentimental value, have some importance to it.
Because he even told him, he's like, keep the watch. But yeah. I thought it's because the watch was all bloody and stuff, too.
No, I think that the cufflinks was given to him by somebody special, which could have been his lover.
I'm thinking it's his lover at this point. It says, with love from Hank. And then at the end, when he was in the bedroom, when him and Nick were talking, he did look at a picture last minute, which I don't think he packed the picture with him. And I kept trying to look at it close, and you couldn't tell who was in the picture. But I'm going to assume that was Hank. Whoever Hank, I mean, Hank is probably his lover.
Yeah, maybe.
And we still didn't find out why Strand was in that hospital.
Yeah, we didn't.
He was, I mean, he wasn't sick. He didn't seem sick. He didn't seem crazy.
Well, maybe when the military were doing their rounds.
They just grabbed him. Oh, maybe Hank, no, I was going to say maybe Hank died. And since he was close by, they took him. Kind of like they took Suzanne's husband. Suzanne was the neighbor lady.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
But then again, he didn't have no blood or anything on him, but who knows?
Really, that's a good question. Why is he in there? There's so much they could have told us. I feel like this season, up until this episode, they spent so much time on some useless information. They could have been building a storyline or building this better.
Right.
Because, I mean, some episodes were just pointless to me. Like the second episode.
I'm trying to think what happened that second episode. You know, is that when...
When he started off, when he saw the little light flash and everything.
That was the second? No. That had been like the third or fourth episode.
No, I think it was the second. When he was sitting on top of the car and said how long they'd been there.
Mm-mm. They didn't come back to the house until the end of the second episode.
Okay, well, whatever episode that was, it was just pointless.
I like that episode, actually.
It was pointless. It was. Well, to me. To me, it was pointless.
Okay.
I mean, we found out some information, but they could have wiped that episode out and made it better. Put a lot more into it.
Yeah. And I think my favorite part of the likes was Nick and Madison's conversation, which I mentioned. You know, him saying that he's never knew where he was going. He's always kind of been lost. And now it feels like everyone's catching up to him because no one at this point knows where they're going. They're all just kind of just moving along. They're all kind of like The Walking Dead, which is what Rick called him in season 5. So they're all just on their way. Like they have no destination right now.
Right. But it's still no comparison
to.
I mean, that was a cool little speech, but. Mm-hmm. It was still no comparison.
To what Nick was going through before.
What he was going through. What they're going through now doesn't compare. Or what Nick went through before doesn't compare to what they're going through now.
Right.
Because you got to think about it. Nick always had a home to come back to. I'm not saying he was an addict by choice, but it was his choice to be an addict.
Right.
Right now, they're out of options. They're really lost. They don't have a home to go back to. Right now, it's just they have to survive.
Yeah, but I still see what he's saying, and I think he now realized it's kind of like a wake-up call that, like, this is now my life, but I've already been living this lost, nowhere to go, nothing to do, and I feel like he felt he wasted time doing that.
I mean, like I said, it was a nice speech, but he always had somewhere to go.
Not necessarily somewhere to go, it's just that he felt like his time was wasted. He was just roaming around the streets doing heroin, not actually living up to his potential, which whatever that may be. Maybe he'll find his potential in this apocalypse. I hope.
I mean, there's only one thing he can do now. Survive.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of too late to find your potential. I mean, it's not like he's going to get a CEO job now, but he's asked to get it.
Right.
Like I said, the options, they only have one option. And they're surviving. You know, I guess they get to decide when they get to their destination who's going to be the cook, who's going to be the lookout. You know, all options are gone.
Right. All right, so we know we did lose someone out of the group, Liza. She was the first death, I guess you can say, out of the main characters.
Yeah. And if you didn't list our instant cast, Nicole was behind me boo-hooing.
No, I was not. I was not crying. Something was in my eye.
Boo-hooing.
I wouldn't have cried for Liza. I may possibly, maybe a tear would have dropped for Nick or Strand, but not Liza. Not saying she deserved to die, not saying I don't care whatsoever, but I think I would have liked her living because it kind of would have made the storyline like a little juicy since her, Travis, and Madison would all have been living together. Like, I kind of would have liked to see how that would have worked out.
Yeah.
Would Travis be forced to go, not forced, but would he feel obligated to go back to his original family? Or would he stay with Madison? Or would they become like Big Love? I don't know. They probably wouldn't have become Big Love. But I kind of want her to live for that reason. That's unfortunate.
I wanted her to live. I didn't see her dying. I couldn't even imagine that.
Yeah, we never guessed it at all.
I mean, out of anybody who could have died, I mean, they could have killed Travis. Yeah, that would have made a show.
No, it would have.
That would have made the show. Come on. No, nobody saw Travis die but me.
Yeah, that's why it didn't happen. I don't think Travis is going to die anytime soon.
I don't think Travis can survive an apocalypse, zombie apocalypse.
He just beat up Andy.
He beat up Andy because he messed up. And Andy exposed him.
Okay.
And he exposed him for the coward he is.
We'll get to that. Travis beating up Andy is on my likes, but the rest of that whole storyline, Andy, is not on my likes. So my last like is, our last like is Liza, just her saying her goodbye to Chris in her own way. And then Matt, that whole 5-minute scene of the Liza, Madison, Travis thing, like Liza saying goodbye to Chris, the way she said goodbye to him, Madison could tell something was up, which is why Madison followed her. Just as a fellow mom, because the way she said goodbye and she's like, I love you. She just knew something was up. And then even I did, but I didn't know she was hurt. I thought she was just going to leave, like, on her own.
Yeah, that was a cool scene. But, not being insensitive.
Right.
But it was a nice scene. I liked the scene. The only thing I didn't like about it, and this is getting into a dislike early, but, I mean, she got bit. When she lifted up her shirt, she's all bloody. But you notice how clean the shirt was?
No, the shirt was not clean. Now, okay, I thought the same thing. Because on second watch, I was like, hold on. Wouldn't they have seen that the shirt was torn there if she got scratched? Unless somehow the shirt was lifted and a scratch came at that point. But her shirt was all bloody, but it was across the chest. Now, there was no blood on the side of the shirt, but her whole shirt was bloody on the front.
I mean, you didn't see anything right there in the area.
No, you didn't see anything in that area.
And, you know, I guess her shirt could have been bloody from the front from her...
Patience,
yeah. Or her killing Mrs. Salazar.
No, I think her shirt was bloody from those zombie kills that she did at the hospital.
Okay.
Which is kind of a like... I mean, I love that they went into action. They were killing all the zombies, killing the infected. But it just seems weird that last week they went from too scared to kill anybody, not even Susan, the neighbor, when she was on the other side of the fence, to now they're killing everybody. And also just to think about, it's only been a few days from the day where they saw one little walker outside their house to now herds of walkers and everybody's fighting. I mean, you don't have even real weapons. You have a hammer and some other crap. And I mean, it was a like, but at the same time, it was like, are these people that prepared already to do all this? Like, maybe yes, if your life is depending on it, you would go into crazy mode and just kill somebody that's trying to attack you.
Yeah, I can see it.
So did you like all those walker kills?
Yeah, I love the walker kills. I'm glad they was prepared.
But were they?
I mean, there was only one casualty.
Yeah, I guess that's good.
And I swear she made it out safe. I swear the writers just wrote that in at the end. Like, how can we make Nicole cry?
Whatever. we'll get into it in the dislike. I think that's our final like anyways, right? Okay, we'll start off all small dislikes until our big ones. First small dislike. Whose clothes was Ophelia packing? Her and Daniel. Like, when they packed and left Madison's house, Ophelia, what are you packing? You don't live there. Nothing in that home is yours.
Right.
You should be walking out empty-handed. She had a bag.
You should walk out how you came in.
Right. I'm like, what are you packing, homegirl?
Only thing you came in with was the clothes on your back.
And the clothes on your back. But she's done changed clothes, so I guess she's been borrowing from Alicia. But I guess she's like, well, Alicia can only pick 5 or 6 outfits to put in her bag. I guess I'll use 5 or 6 outfits of hers as well.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess it's not time to be stingy.
Okay.
You know, it is a zombie apocalypse. You don't want to say, no, that's mine. You can't wear that.
Right.
I mean, how many wears you would get out of it?
But I better not see them switching shoes. Like, you better not have been packing shoes as well. You get one pair of shoes and you go with it. Shoes are too heavy to be trying to carry around.
I think they were packing light.
Okay. It was just a small dislike. I don't know. We didn't see... Well, we saw Daniel put some stuff in the car, too. Like, what do you have? You have some of Travis's clothes? I think Nick's the only one that went empty. Oh, no, Nick wasn't there. I was going to say, Nick went empty. Nick will still be with no clothes because he didn't even get to pack if he was going to ever. He probably wouldn't have even packed.
No, Nick is ready. Nick already have on. He already have on. He's going to have on for the next 5 seasons. Yeah.
Maybe, who knows? Maybe we might see him wearing one of Strand's shirts or something. Strand might, man, change your clothes, dude. Or say something to him.
Like I said before, Nick is Nick. Once he changes his clothes, people might not recognize him.
Whatever.
They might not. Because he had the same outfit on this whole season.
Well, he does have a white t-shirt on.
Yeah, I guess so. And you had to think about it. Me and you didn't notice he had the same outfit on until a listener brought it to our attention.
Right. It's all good, though. I like Nick, so that's like a small... I don't even use that as a dislike, because yeah, I just have no dislike. Problem with it.
I don't have a problem with it. I mean, that's how we spot them.
Yeah. All right, the military messing with Alicia and Chris. Why didn't they just hotwire another car? I mean, there were several other cars in that garage. Why harass that? I mean, why go to that one car? You see people in there. Why don't you just go to another car? Right. Like, oh, we have to have this car right here, right now. Where's the keys? Dude, you're in the military. You're telling me you don't know how to hotwire a car?
Are you telling me you don't have none of these cars in this parking lot is yours?
Yeah, none of these cars. Y'all have no access to none of these cars. Come on. So,
but you know what? They probably didn't have a car. They probably came in tanks and planes because they did just hijack an area.
Yes.
And made it the compound.
But it seems kind of like if you're in the military, you should be able to know how to do certain stuff, like especially in dangerous situations. So hijacking a car seems like it would just be simple, like military 101. You don't think so?
You know what? I think I'll probably try to go about it the easy way also. I mean, yeah. I could
kick some kids, beat them up.
I could probably break into this car right here and do the hot wiring thing. Or I could just ask you to give me your keys.
Yeah, but when they came into that garage, they were planning on breaking into a car anyways. Were they not?
Yeah. You know what? That garage, everything that happened at the garage didn't really make sense anyway. Yeah. The garage is where they just threw in little action scenes. Yeah. You know, it really didn't go. And then remember when they came back out, and this is a dislike of mine. Remember when they came back out to the garage, Travis and the whole group,
mm-hmm.
They were looking around for the SUV. They were like, oh, it's gone. Where are they at? Where are they at? I mean, then you just tell them that if you had to leave.
If shit goes ham, leave, yeah.
Yeah. So I think, you know, they kind of messed up on that scene right there.
Yeah.
What Travis should have did when he came back to the garage was like, oh, they're already gone. Let's hop in here. And just took off. Left him behind.
Right. And then why did he have to call them so many times? What were they doing? Alicia, Chris. They said like 3 times. And then finally they're like, we're here. Like, what the hell? What? Y'all didn't hear me calling you for the last minute and a half?
You know what I'm saying? The garage, man, is where they just put fuckery at.
Yeah. That's straight what it was.
Anything that didn't make sense, they threw it in the garage.
I have a few more dislikes from the garage, but before we get to that one, now we talked about it on the Instacast, how my heart was pumping when I thought Nick and Strand were about to get eaten alive right in front of Nick's mom and family, which I thought Nick acted brilliantly. Like when he told his mom to go, it was like he came at peace. He was at peace with dying, you know? He didn't want his mom seeing that. So that was actually part of a like I just forgot to mention. However, when Liza goes outside at the beginning, before things went too crazy, when the military is still trying to fight the zombies, Liza goes outside. She only has to scan her key card once. She scans it once, door opens. No problemo. However, now, Nick and Strand about to get hurt. He just has to scan that sucker like 5-6 times. To me, that was just like a cliche, scary movie type of thing. Like, it was pretty much the same thing as, you know, when in scary movies, all of a sudden the car doesn't start. Like, that's how that's cliche. Like, that to me was the same level.
Yeah, I hate that.
Don't you hate that?
Yeah, I hate when the car don't start.
Yeah. And then sometimes they let you know in the beginning, having a little car trouble. They'll throw that in there. So then when it doesn't start, it's not like, it's always had car problems. So.
And sometimes they won't do that. Sometimes the car just pull up perfectly.
Up perfectly. Everything goes fine.
Brand new vehicle.
Just got everything, oil change. Everything was checked out. Now all of a sudden, somebody's about to kill you and your car won't start. So
yeah,
I didn't like that part. Like, even if they maybe would have had her scan it twice, I would have been fine with. But she had to scan that sucker like 5 times.
Yeah, I wasn't so mad at that part. But I understand what you're saying. Because if you feel about that, how I feel about the car not starting, I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
But personally, I didn't have a problem with that part. I mean, I knew the door was going to open, but I still was on the edge of my seat. I was still like, oh no, somebody's about to die.
I was not sure the door was going to open. And then even when Nick got out, he went out first. So I was not sure that Strand was going to make it. So it still had that effect to me. But I think they could have had that same effect with Liza getting there just a little bit later. They could have did everything the same. The only thing they had to change was maybe her swiping the card just twice rather than like that many times. And it would have still had that same effect if the zombies were getting closer.
Or they could have had her drop the card. Like after.
Yes.
Hit the side of it and dropped, and she had to reach for it, and you know, it's, I don't know.
Yeah, that would have worked.
I mean, anything they did would have been cliche.
Yeah, that's true. Even though, you know, dropping the card, I would have been okay with. Like, if you remember season 1, Walking Dead, I don't know if it was episode 2 or 3, when they left Merle, and remember T-Dog.
T-Dog,
yeah. Oh, we hate that name. So remember when T-Dog, he had the key and he was going to let Merle go? He was going to, and then he dropped it. He's like, shit, I dropped it. That didn't seem cliche to me because it was just so, like, I think how he tripped over stuff and it didn't seem cliche. I liked it. I don't even took my key out after Merle beat him up like that. You remember that ass whooping?
Yeah.
I think Merle, it's the worst ass whooping ever. That's worse than Andy's ass whooping.
Yeah.
Merle beat him pretty damn bad. He was good for trying to even let him go free off subject, but yeah, so I liked this scene, but I didn't like the fact that Liza had to scan her card that many times. And then finally, one of our biggest dislikes, where the hell did Andy come from? Why did he come back? I mean, there's so many questions.
And again, that's the fuckery of the garage.
It almost ruined the episode for me. When he popped up on screen, I was like, what the fuck? Like, did my screen? I was so confused. I was like, what is he doing there? I was so confused.
Come in and see with his gun already out.
Yeah, okay. There's several questions.
He already.
Where in the hell did you get that gun from, Andy? And if you got a gun, leave. You're in the military. You see shit has gone really bad outside. First, I was going to say, actually, how did he know where they were? But I'm guessing Travis let him out when they got to the garage. That's the only way I can try to excuse it. That's how he knew where they were.
No, Travis let him out. I don't think he ever got in the car.
So then how in the hell did he know? Oh, because maybe he told him where to go, so he knew to go to that garage. But then how'd you get there on foot that fast?
And then just because he told them where to go don't mean they were going to be there.
At that garage at that time. It was just ridiculous. It's like, why'd you come back? At this point, go save yourself. It's not like they're going to come back for me. They're not worried about you, clearly.
That's what I'm saying. Anything that was crazy that could have happened in that garage. It's like they just kept throwing, they throw some more action in there. Put in the garage.
Right. Not only that, why did he shoot Ophelia? Like, what did he think? He was going to shoot her, and then everyone would be paying attention to her, and he would just walk away? Like, okay, even if you did that, what does that accomplish? What did you get out of shooting her? Now you feel better? Now you got your revenge? I didn't like it. You know? And then, is he not dead? Or is he dead? He's probably not dead.
No, he's not dead. You know, Travis can't kill anybody.
But now you just got an unnecessary ass whooping. You know? You could have been home, or you could have been actually on your way to safety, and now you're probably going to sit there and die, because a zombie's probably going to come, and you're too beat up to get up and actually run now.
I mean, you said a lot of things that was wrong with that scene, but I'm just going to add on to that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, first of all, like I said, he never got in the car with Travis. I don't think he ever got in there.
Okay. Yeah, because when they left the gate, Travis looked down on the seat next to him, and all I saw was, like, papers or something.
Right.
Like, the map, I guess, that he drew.
Yeah. Second of all, there was zombies all outside of there. Outside the compound.
Right.
So, how did you make it through all that, make it through the zombies, make it through the building, wherever, and get to the garage? I mean, not how, but why?
Why? That's the important
question. I mean, how and why?
How and why? You've seen what these people are, these zombies are. You've seen. Why, if you got to the compound because you felt, hey, I can actually go with the military, you know they're going to be killing everyone the next morning. You see all those zombies outside. You still go, you know what? I'm going to go find Daniel and his family. I'm going to go hit him where it hurts. Like, why? It doesn't make no sense. So that was, it was just a big dislike.
Yeah, because sometimes you just got to take a loss.
Yeah.
And, you know, he took a loss. He should have took it with dignity, you know.
Right.
Then you made him spill the beans, tell him everything. And he just should have left it at that. Like, yeah. Okay, you know, some crazy stuff is going on. Let me just go about my life.
Right.
I don't understand. I mean, he act like he got beat up in front of his girlfriend or his wife or somebody. Yeah. Now that's different.
Right.
Because, you know, if somebody just beat me up real bad in front of my wife, yeah, you know, I'm thinking revenge every waking moment of my life. Because you just can't, you know, take an ass whooping in front of your wife and think everything's going to be fine. But
we saw it on Dave Chappelle, remember?
Yeah.
The keeping it real go wrong.
But, like I said, you know, he didn't take the embarrassment like that. It was no embarrassing moment. Yeah, Daniel made him talk. He's a big military guy, whatever. But, hey, life goes on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nobody know you told Daniel anything.
And to me, it's not the same thing as when, remember when in The Walking Dead, when they left, they finally escaped Terminus, and Rick was like, let's go finish him. And everyone's like, nah, we're all good. And then Terminus people came back. To me, it was not that same type of level threat. Like, I gotta go back for them because they may come back for me. Like,
right.
You know, there was no threat. The threat was gone.
Yeah.
You know, and then at this point, we probably will see someone that's innocent. Kind of like on The Walking Dead. Aaron, is it the guy that took him to Alexandria? Yeah. Remember, like, Rick was beating him up. No one trusts them anymore. So I feel like they may run into someone that's trustworthy. Well, I don't know how, because they're going to be on that boat. But they may run into eventually, that boat's probably not going to last forever. So they may eventually run into someone, and they're not going to trust them, because Travis is going to always remember, I trusted someone before, look where it got me. I mean, at the same time, I would say don't trust anyone at this point. Well, it's still early. I wouldn't say don't trust anyone at this point, but eventually, yeah, don't trust anyone.
Yeah, I think it's too early for all this stuff.
And then did you notice how Daniel knew he was going to shoot Ophelia? I kind of like that, though. Like, Daniel looked at Ophelia like he was scared for her. He looked back at Andy, and then Andy looked at Ophelia, and Daniel was like, no, and that's when he shot her. So it's like, Daniel, he has, like, good instincts. Real good instincts.
Or maybe Andy shot her because Daniel looked at her.
Yes, I thought that, too. I was like, damn, Daniel, don't even look at her. Don't even, you know, don't pay
maybe
no attention to her.
He figured that was the only way to hurt Daniel. Like, I mean, this guy probably don't care if I kill him.
But if he wanted real revenge, he should have shot Daniel. Then he would have been in control because he knew Daniel was the strong one out of the group.
But I'm saying he couldn't make Daniel suffer by just shooting Daniel.
Everyone suffers if they get shot with a bullet.
No, I'm saying he could have just killed Daniel.
Okay.
And Daniel wouldn't have suffered.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess he shot Daniel's daughter because he know Daniel loves his daughter. He suffers before he dies.
Right.
Like, okay, I'm going to shoot his daughter. Let him see that. Then I'll kill him.
Okay. I don't know what his plan was, but...
Because like I said, he didn't expect Travis to beat him down.
Yeah, because Travis is the one that let him go.
Yeah, Travis was the weak link of the group.
Could this be the reason why Travis doesn't like guns?
Maybe.
And then what do you think of Travis beating the shit out of him?
I mean, I don't know what to think about Travis. Travis is a big disappointment to me.
Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh. Well, a lot of people were saying that Travis didn't beat him up. Because, well, Travis is not, like, the new Travis. He's not new. He's not like, okay, I'm not scared anymore. You know?
No, I don't think he's that person.
He did it because he felt betrayed, or he...
He did it because he fucked up.
Yeah.
Daniel told him not to let him go. He let him go.
And Daniel said, you're going to regret that decision.
And the thing about this, how is this going to change the dynamics of Daniel and Travis' relationship going into the next season?
I think if Ophelia had died, Daniel probably would have killed Travis or at least given him a good ass whooping. Or just left them. Daniel would have went on his own and survived, like, fine.
But he would have just left him. I think this is going to really affect their relationship.
I don't know. Since Ophelia survived, Daniel knows Travis's
But Daniel also knows that Travis is not built for this.
Yeah, but now that he saw Travis do what he has to do...
Daniel probably thought the same thing that we think. That the only reason he did that is because he messed up.
Maybe. We'll find out next year. I don't think Daniel, right now, there's no really no time for having grudges with people and all that. Like, Ophelia's fine. She'll be fine.
But I'm saying, can you ever trust a Travis again after that?
I think at this point, Travis won't make that mistake again. I don't think he will.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get into some listener letters. Although this is the season finale, you guys, we'll still keep this same email for The Walking Dead, which starts next week. So our email, if you want to get in on the conversation, it's dead@theverdictsin.com, dead@theverdictsin.com. And you can also hit us up on social media, on Twitter, @theverdictsin, or facebook.com/verdictsin. First, we have a couple Twitter responses or Twitter feedback. We have Mike G, who wrote, great emotion slash acting, great episode. He loved it.
Yeah, it was a great episode.
And then we have Mrs. Charlotte Vale, who thought the total opposite. And Mrs. Charlotte Vale wrote on Twitter, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I am out. Fear the Walking Dead. Fear the Walking Dead managed to annoy and bore me more than The Walking Dead. Uh-oh. Those are fighting words there when you start talking about The Walking Dead. And I wrote, really? We loved it. And she wrote, I wanted to see people devolve into killing each other over a tin of beans rather than go to the shop because of the danger. Okay, so let's talk about that first part. Managed to annoy her.
Yeah, I mean, she sounds like I've been feeling all season.
Right.
Like I said in one of our recaps that, you know, I don't know whether I like the show or I'm forcing myself to like it.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I found myself annoyed at times.
I did too, but you have to remember this is pre-apocalypse, and I know even with that being said, there are still some crazy things that are just a little weird.
I mean, you know, I keep seeing people say it's pre-apocalypse, you know, The Walking Dead, The Walkers, all this is not supposed to happen yet. And with all that being true, that shouldn't affect the storyline.
That's true.
Being pre-zombie apocalypse, it's like a great story within itself. They should have did a much better job creating it. A much better job. Like I said, there were some episodes that I wish would kick rocks.
Right.
I wish it would just disappear.
Yeah.
Lost episode. That they just never bring back, that nobody ever finds.
I get it.
I felt like that about a couple of episodes. They could have replaced it with a much better episode. Told the story better. Like I said, this had a lot of potential, and that's why a lot of people were tuned in. I feel like a lot of people, a lot of Walking Dead fans, forced themselves to like this show for what it could have been.
Right. Yeah, because it does feel like a do-over for them. There, you know, there's been issues with The Walking Dead. It's not perfect. You would think that, okay, they listen to critics, audience, fans, whatever, and they took all those feedback from the last 5 seasons of The Walking Dead and said, hey, these are things, these are common things that they didn't like on The Walking Dead. Fear the Walking Dead is our chance to do it even better.
They didn't do it.
They didn't do it. I mean, they have some good characters like Nick, Strand, Daniel, those interesting characters that are keeping you in. Some might even say Madison. But like you said, I don't know. It wasn't, I enjoyed it. Like each week when we watched it and we podcast on it, I was like, But then later on in the week, I'll be bored. I'm like, oh, let me go ahead and watch the episode again. And I'm like, you know, it was pretty good. And I knew you always said I was forcing myself to like it. Who knows? But it was never like how that feeling I get when I watch Walking Dead, that feeling I get when I watch Game of Thrones, where after the episode goes off, you want to stay online all night talking to everyone. And unfortunately, I don't really have any friends that watch the show. So talking to Gary, you know, or talking to people online about the show, or just you can't wait until next week. This was never like that for me. It was like when it was off, maybe a few minutes of, oh, that was kind of cool. That was kind of cool. And then after that, it's like forgotten about.
Yeah. Like the first episode I loved, but I don't think I loved it for the episode. I think I loved it because I knew what it was.
Yeah.
Second episode, you know, I'm like, okay, yeah, I like this. I like it. But the third episode, I'm like, man, I don't really like this shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like this. They're doing it all wrong. I mean, I'm not a writer, director, or producer. So I can't really tell you how to create a perfect show. I just know what it is when I see it.
Yeah.
And I didn't see it. This last episode should have been a first episode.
No. Because then that would have been pre-zombie apocalypse. Everything would already have been happening.
It could have been.
Like, you know what?
If the last episode was the first episode.
And then everything else was a flashback. Okay. That would have been cool.
That would have been. In fact, Fear Walking Dead, call me.
Well, it might have been cool, but then. Yeah, no, actually, it would have been good.
It would have been cool if the last episode was the first episode and everything else was a flashback from there. I mean, they could have did a better job with the flashback, but if everything was a flashback from there, that would have been cool.
Right. Maybe the next year they should utilize flashbacks a little more often. I think we've only seen it once or twice, once with Michonne and then once with Shane, I think. We've only seen it two or three times on The Walking Dead. But there's a lot of good shows that utilize flashbacks. The number one in my head is Lost. They did really good on their flashbacks. And it makes for a good story. I just always love flashbacks. So, who knows? They could change their format next year. But at this point, it's kind of too late.
It's too late.
Yeah.
They just need to concentrate on making a better show. I don't want them to save the good show to the last show.
Yeah. All right, so what do you think about Charlotte saying that she wanted them to be, like, killing each other over a can of beans and stuff like that?
I think it's funny she said that. But I think it's too soon.
I think it's too soon as well. First thing, like she said, instead of going to the shop because of the danger.
I think it's too soon. I think they still have hope. I mean, you're not going to start fighting over a can of beans until you're out of hope.
Until you realize there's no beans whatsoever. So I think right now, food is still plentiful. You know, I'm sure the stores have been raided, but it's not to the point where it is on Walking Dead where they have to go miles and miles to find a store that has food. Because most of the people left the city or they've died and became zombies. So it's not at that point right now where you can't go find food. So I don't see them, you know, fighting over food just yet. Thank you guys for those conversations there.
Yeah, thank you.
So we have an email from Yolanda. She wrote, "Hi, Nicole and Gary. I have to say, this is what I've been waiting for all season. I was trying to give the show a chance, but I wasn't liking most of the characters. I thought Gary was right about the actor playing Travis being wrong for the role until tonight. When Travis opened that can of whoop-ass on Andrew and then straddled him to really get his point across, I said, oh yeah, he's got some Rick Grimes crazy in him. And I liked how Nick, Alicia, and Chris looked at him like, damn, we've been living with the Hulk all this time. Then there were two smaller moments I really liked and one heart-wrenching one. The smaller ones were when Chris asked Travis not to leave him, Travis told him to drive off if there was trouble, and Chris told him he didn't know how to drive. Even though Alicia can drive, Travis just left him and didn't even say goodbye. I thought that was kind of cool. Did you notice that?
No, I missed that.
Okay. I guess it wasn't as cold to me because I didn't notice it, but it could have been. Maybe, you know, sometimes men, like when Travis and them finally come back and Alicia and Chris run out of wherever they were hiding at or whatever, Alicia and her mom run up and hug, and Chris and Travis run up and they just kind of like touch each other's shoulders. I was like, are you okay? And I'm like, no hugging, you know? Come on, you guys.
Yeah, so, that's a man thing.
Yeah.
You know, we lead a hugging to the ladies.
No, I think I agree, though. If he didn't say at least bye or one last I love you, son, this might be the last time we see each other.
And then we really don't know the extent of their relationship.
They're still father, son. That's all we need to know.
I mean, I have a father, too. I mean, I like that bastard. I mean, like I said, we just don't know the extent of their relationship.
That's true.
Because they didn't seem close. Because remember, first episode, when he called them,
he didn't want to come over. He didn't
want to come. And instead of Travis saying, no, we need to spend time together, once Liza got on the phone, Travis said,
Keep him.
And that was it. So I don't think they have that. They probably had the same father-son relationship that me and my father have.
Okay.
You know that. I see you.
But yeah. The other small moment was when Andrew was holding the gun on Daniel, but then shot Ophelia. The look he gave her before he pulled the trigger said, this is all your fault. And when I read this email, I watched that scene again. I couldn't tell based on how he looked. He just looked pissed off to me, Andy, but I couldn't really tell. Do you think he thought this was Ophelia's fault, the reason why he got tortured and the reason why he was about to shoot her?
I don't think so. In my opinion, I think that he knew that shooting her would hurt Daniel.
I think that's why he did it too.
Although she did play him. He's probably bitter also because, you know, he probably really liked her. To realize that she'd been playing him this whole time.
Yeah, but Daniel, remember he said,
break a man's heart.
He told the guy when he was torturing him, he's like, don't blame Ophelia. You know, she doesn't want this or whatever. Or she just wants her mom to get help. I don't know. He was like, don't blame Ophelia or something.
Yeah, but that's easier said than done.
Right.
So that right there, I mean, I don't know.
Shiro, and the moment I thought the show was about to get real and kill off Nick, I'm there with you, Yolanda. He's trapped at the door with Mr. Clean. And Maddie was on the other side, and they couldn't get the door open, and he told her to go and leave him. I loved this scene. Nick did such a good job acting. He knew he was about to die a brutal death and didn't want his mom to witness that. I almost teared up. Aw. Yeah, it was a good scene. I mean, Nick is really good. That's why I was like, no, they're going to lose Nick. So, yeah, that would have been kind of sad for me, too. Nick and the Strand. I was kind of worried for them both.
Yeah, that would have been a double whammy.
Yeah.
Because Mr. Strand just started getting interesting.
No, well, Mr. Strand has been interesting since he's got there, but he's only been there, since last week?
Last week.
So, yeah. Even though it's weird because I feel so close to...
Feel more attached to him.
To Mr. Strand than I do some of the other characters.
Than Travis.
No.
That's what I'm saying. The guy who played Mr. Strand was built for that role.
Right.
He's a good actor. You can tell he's strong. He is Mr. Strand.
Yeah.
But Cliff Curtis, the guy who played Travis, some people probably haven't seen his other movies. You know, this is probably the first thing they've seen him in. They still can't relate to him. He's still not that character.
I've been okay with Travis.
So it's a big, I haven't. It's a big difference between those two guys. Cliff is a good actor because, I love his other movies. But this one, for this role, for the fear, I did not like. And I know I keep stressing that. People get tired of me talking about old Travis. But I just wish he'd die. that would have made the show, it would have ended perfectly.
No, I don't know about that.
It would have.
I'm cool with Travis.
The picture of Travis died at the end of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
We have something to look forward to next season.
Okay, I'm cool with Travis. Rather Travis had died than Liza or both of them?
But yeah. I think I'd rather Travis. Because Liza, I haven't seen her enough to really dislike her character.
That's why I couldn't really feel anything when she died. It was sad, damn, she died. She went back. She had a chance to live. Although we don't know what would have happened to her if she went with the military. And, she wouldn't have gone to the military and leave her son as well. But
I think if Travis would have died instead, they would have had a full team. Everybody would have had a role to play. You have Mr. Strand. He has the knowledge. He had the means. You have Daniel. Daniel's a chess player, like I said before. He'd do whatever it takes. You have Nick. Nick can do whatever it takes. Nick's, he's still is Nick still an addict?
I think he's clean now. He was throwing up there. I think that's done. Unless he finds him.
Yeah.
While he's out on the road.
Yeah. Maybe Strand hook him up with some.
I hope he won't.
He seems like a good friend.
No, I hope he won't. I mean, I could see him doing it. He seems like that person.
Yeah.
But he's like, I need you better when you're better to me when you're high.
Yeah, maybe. And then Liza, she's a nurse. She fit in the group perfectly.
Yeah, who are they going to have now? No one else knows anything about, about healing people.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure Daniel done tortured enough people to know how to bring him back or banish him up. You see, he banished Andy up.
Yeah, no, that's true.
But Travis, I'm still trying to figure out what role Travis would play. I can just see him crying and whining the whole time.
Right. You know what I think of when I see Mr. Clean? I think of him and I see him and I go, he can be the next, I am the most interesting man on earth. You know, that one? I could see him playing that commercial. He seems so cool. All right. And then finally she said, well, those were my favorite scenes. Love that you did an instant cast last night. Thank you. Can't wait to hear next week's Walking Dead podcast.
Woo-hoo. Oh, we can't wait for Walking Dead.
Yes. Thank you, Yolanda. And sorry, I wrote her back yesterday when she wrote this, and I said we were taping yesterday, which was Monday, and it's now late Tuesday, so This will probably, by the time we finish this, it'll probably be pretty late. So you guys will probably listen Wednesday. So sorry about that.
Yeah, real life caught up with us.
Yeah.
You know. Damn jobs.
Yeah. Damn, well, by the time we were going to finally tape, it was like 11 o'clock Monday. And I was like, Gary, I cannot tape this late. Like, we have to go to work tomorrow. We'll just regret it. We'll tape tomorrow night. So sorry about that, y'all.
And it's my fault we tape late because I'm an athlete, you know.
Yeah, I didn't want to blame you. I didn't want to put you out there, but yeah, it was Gary's fault. He kind of got home late and then
I
just...
I went to play a
volleyball game.
Well, you had to tell him volleyball.
Oh, what, were we going to say some hardcore game?
Yeah, I was going to... Yeah.
And he hurt his leg.
Oh, man, there you go.
So he kind of came home and he had to, like, chill out for a little bit. And by the time he finally got the courage to tape, got the energy to tape, it was too late. I was like, nah, it's bedtime now, so... All right, so we got another email, which was good that we taped late because we got an email early this morning, late last night, from Ronnie, our fellow Atlantean. What are they called? I'm not from Atlanta, so, but what are Atlanteans called? Are there Atlanteans, right?
We're ATLians.
Yeah. ATLians, yeah. A fellow ATLian.
Right.
He wrote, "Hi, Gary, Nicole." He wrote an H in my name. I'm going to forgive him for that one. There's no H in my name. Just remember that. Every time I see Nicole written with an H, I cringe. I don't know. It's weird. But the common way is N-I-C-O-L-E. No H. Anywho, I'm still happy he wrote. He said, "I stumbled onto you guys when I was looking for a podcast from an African-American perspective for Game of Thrones, and I followed you through from Ballers to Orange is the New Black, now to Fear the Walking Dead."
Oh, that's cool.
That is really cool.
Oh, thank you, Ronnie.
Yep, thanks for listening to all our podcasts. Make sure you go on iTunes as well and leave a review for each one. All right, "I really enjoyed your show, but I loved it even more when I realized you guys were also Falcons fans. Hashtag rise up.
Rise up, yeah.
We're 4-0.
Yes, we are.
I thought it was finally time for me to stop just listening and write in. And this is what I like to hear. I like to hear that you guys are listening, but it's also even more great when you write in. I mean, right now, if you write in, you have, like, pretty much 100% chance that we will read your comment. You know, get in now, it's, the game is still early. The line is not long. If you write in, pretty much 100% chance that your comment will get read. Anyway, Fear the Walking Dead has been an okay series for me. I thought we were going to see the outbreak of the apocalypse from the very beginning by seeing the first walker and watching it spread across the country."
That would have been cool.
Yeah, that nine-day jump that they did, a lot of people were pretty disappointed with it because a lot can happen in 9 days at the beginning of a zombie apocalypse, you know?
Yeah, that's why I said they wasted the episode.
Yeah, they should have showed us. "I was disappointed that they picked up the series from the point where there were walkers everywhere and all medical personnel had figured out how to kill them."
Yeah, because we still don't know how they became walkers, how everybody got the gene or the strand.
Yeah, well, from what I understand, Robert Kirkman, the creator of the show, said it's nothing he'll ever explain. Like, that will never be touched.
Maybe he don't know.
Well, duh, it's too complicated. Like, why bother explaining how they got it? Just know that they have it. Yeah, that's easier story.
I hate when people say, yeah, I'm never going to tell anybody it's a big top secret.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe because you didn't make nothing up.
Right. That's probably what it is. So it's better just to say, hey, they have it, let's go from there.
Well, since he's not going to explain it, I'm going to give you my own story.
Okay.
I think people need to stop taking these flu shots.
Uh-oh.
There you go.
Didn't you just get your flu shot, like, the other day?
Okay, yeah.
All right. But, I haven't got mine yet.
I feel kind of weird afterwards.
Yeah. People, don't they always feel sick after they get a flu shot or something like that? Like, you start to get, like, a fever or something?
Well, not everybody.
Okay.
Not everybody.
I haven't got my flu shot. I don't even think I got one last year, and I'm still alive, so.
In fact, what movie was that? When we seen people who got it from, like, a flu shot or it was, like, a cancer treatment? I Am Legend.
Oh, yeah, I Am Legend. Yeah. I was thinking that other movie, not Outbreak. It was a movie similar to Outbreak that came out a couple years ago. Matt Damon was in there. It was not called Outbreak, but it was the Outbreak. Like, they were all sick. I got to watch it again. Anywho, let's get back to the listener letter. "The finale had a lot of walker action, which I was definitely missing this season. Strand is really intriguing to me, and I can't wait to find out what type of man he was before the apocalypse and how he ended up in that same prison/hospital with Nick.
Right. Right.
Yeah, we've been talking about that too. Like, what was he in there for? He didn't seem sick. He didn't seem crazy. I felt like Dr. Exner was going to kill herself with the air gun so she couldn't turn into a walker. Did you guys get that same idea?
Yeah, we did. In fact, we mentioned it in our instant cast that Nicole asked where she was, and I said, I think she was about to kill herself.
Yeah. To me, I guess that sounds scary to kill yourself when you're not even infected.
She said there's nowhere else to go.
Yeah, but you just give up?
I think she just gave up.
Okay.
Because like I said, maybe she didn't jump from military compound to military compound.
Right.
Because this didn't just start in this town. There was already 4 or 5 other towns it was in.
Yeah, when the show started, the series started, I believe Tobias said 5 states have already reported something.
Right.
The thing is, I had a problem with how Liza died. Like, why didn't they wait until she died? And then they could have killed her. Like, you're killing a live person. The person's still alive. I mean, I know ultimately it's going to happen. It's just, to me, that's too real. That's too much like I'm killing a human being versus when they're already dead, shoot them then.
Right.
I'm not very invested in this story or these characters, so I'm glad it's over. And I'm not sure I'll be returning next season. But if you guys podcast it, I'll be sure to tune in. Thanks for your interesting podcast, Ronnie from College Park.
Oh, thanks, Ronnie.
Thanks, Ronnie. Yeah, we will definitely be covering next season.
Yeah, we will.
The only way I'll stop covering it, it just has to get real, real bad. It has to get real bad. And hopefully it won't go that way.
You know, it almost went that way for me. Like I said, I was dreading watching it. Like, really, to see the finale, I was really like, okay.
Yeah.
Let's just watch this. Let's get over with.
I figured they were going to bring their A game, or at least go a little harder than before season finale. All right. Well, thank you, Yolanda and Ronnie, for sending us an email. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much.
And as of course, you guys can use that same email, dead@theverdictsend.com, Twitter, or Facebook, for next week's Walking Dead. And for The Walking Dead, we'll have the same type of format. However, the only difference is we will probably do an instant cast for every episode.
Yeah, most likely.
Most likely, because Walking Dead is neck and neck with Game of Thrones as far as my favorite shows. I'm more excited to watch Walking Dead, although I think Game of Thrones is a better show, but that excitement I get from Walking Dead, nothing does it for me like that.
Yeah, I mean, they're two different shows, though.
Yeah, they are two different shows, so you can't really compare them.
Yeah, no comparison.
All right, so now for our awards, our final awards and
predictions.
Just to remind you guys, our previous winners of I Ain't Fearing Shit in episode order went to Nick, Tobias. For episode 3, I had Madison as a runner-up. Gary felt I don't think she should have been in the conversation, or was that episode 2? Either way, we both gave it to Daniel.
Yeah.
Episode 4 went to Madison. And episode 5, we were split. I gave it to Daniel. Gary gave it to Mr. Clean, a.k.a. Strand. And now for the season finale of Fear the Walking Dead, season 1, episode 6, I Ain't Fearing Shit award goes to, in my opinion, I give it to Chris.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Chris took an L. Yeah. You know?
He did.
He took an ass whooping.
Right.
And it was not your ordinary ass whooping. I mean, there's 3 grown men. You're a teenage kid. They're bothering Alicia. You tell them to stop. They push you around a little bit. That would have scared me enough. I'm like, whoa, they're willing to touch me. They're willing to beat me up, you know?
Yeah.
Alicia, give them the keys, you know? Give them the keys, man. Then when, like, the guy, like, it was just very creepy, that guy touching your hair. Like, that's a child. You're gross. You can come with us. Like, ew, are people already being gross? That, to me, should be, like, season 2, you know, Fear the Walking Dead, not season 1. You still have your military uniform on, dude.
Yeah.
Show some respect. Like, your military uniform is on. But anywho, so when Chris got that one-hitter quitter and got knocked out all to save Alicia, I just thought he was really brave, even though they probably could have hurt her during that time.
Yeah. I'm tired of everybody on shows being professional boxers.
Yeah.
Why do everybody have a one-hitter quitter?
Well, in this case, the man is a military guy. He probably has some type of training on how to do a one-hitter quitter.
Maybe. But I'm tired of people just getting knocked out in episodes.
I mean, Chris is so small compared to them.
You can't just get punched and just fall down and just lay there without being knocked down. Yeah. Knocked out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right, so who do you give it to?
Oh, I give it to Liza.
Okay. Explain.
I give it to Liza because she went back to save Chris. She could have got on the plane and been gone.
Save Nick.
Nick, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, to save Nick. She could have been gone. I mean, she...
But would she really have left her kid? Chris would have been still without a mom.
Yeah, but remember that was part of her deal she made that Chris and Travis would come with her.
But she knew at that point, if she was about to get on that... It was like a truck at the time. As soon as she was going to get in that truck, they weren't going to go, okay, we'll go looking for your husband.
I'm saying that she could have saved herself and she chose not to.
Yeah.
Not only that, and on top of that, it takes a strong person to know that you're about to die or to know that somebody's, well, just to have somebody kill you because of your situation.
Right.
Me personally, if I would have got bit by a walker, I'm just letting you know, Nicole, if I get bit by a walker, I'm not telling nobody.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not, because, you know, I'm going to beat this. That's what I'm thinking in my head. Like, I'm going to beat this. I'm not going to turn.
Man, so you end up turning in front of us.
I'm just saying. It's going to be. I'm not going to just say it right off the back like, oh, man, I got bit today. Yo, I'm bit. I'm going to try to beat it first.
I wouldn't try to beat it, but...
I'm going to try to jog a little bit, eat right.
Let me get some vegetables real quick, see if I can fight this thing.
Take my vitamins. You know, try to beat the virus.
Yeah. Well, remember Travis, he's like, oh, well, we got the medicine. You know, we can save her. And it's like, nah, and I'm like,
when
that.
Travis said that, would be music to my ear. Like, all right. But I'm saying she was a strong person this episode. Rest in peace, Eliza. I give her I Ain't Fearing Shit award.
All right. I don't know if anyone else would have picked any of the ones that we picked. Chris or Liza, I don't think anyone would agree with us.
I mean, somebody probably picked Andy.
I guess you could, because, like, you know, he came back on a stupid revenge mission.
Yeah, Andy walked all the way to the compound on foot.
He walked all the way to the compound on foot after he just got tortured.
Fought his way into the garage. We don't know how many zombies seen a karate chopped and shot.
Came out there quietly. That was ridiculous.
Went in the garage and shot somebody. That's a fearless person.
And then he's military. Shouldn't he have had better aim than where he shot her? Like, why didn't he do a headshot?
I don't know. Andy's stupid.
Yeah, you should have went for the kill shot.
Give him the I Ain't Fearing Shit award.
Yeah, he definitely doesn't deserve the I Ain't Fearing Shit award, though. All right, for our most likely to die... Since the season hasn't started, we have seen no trailers. You know, they haven't even taped. We can't particularly say which episode. But just maybe sometime next season. Hopefully none of the group that we know right now. But if it had to be someone, I'm going to go with Alicia that she may die next year.
Yeah. I think that she'd be an easy write-off. They won't need her. If she died, you know, I don't think anybody lose sleep. I don't give it to her. I don't think that I can see, and I'm not going to say Travis. I know people waiting for it. You know, I don't think they already disappointed me this season. I don't think they're going to kill him off next season. But I think that Chris is not going to be around past the first episode of next season.
I hope that doesn't happen.
I think Andy's going to come back.
Andy's going to find him again.
He's going to find him again.
And be like, Travis, this is for beating me up.
Yeah. And just... shoot Chris this time.
Okay.
You know, Eddie don't shoot who he's mad at.
Yeah.
So, there you have it.
All right. Well, we love to hear from you guys. Make sure you send us in the award. I keep thinking we're not going to be taping for a long time. Walking Dead starts next week. So, we'll be back literally next in less than a week.
Right.
That's cool. So, you got to give it to him that, you know, that Walking Dead's just a few days away.
Oh, I can't wait.
And there is a Walking Death Pool. The actual website is walkingdeathpool.com. I think Mrs. Charlotte Vale told us about this on Twitter. Someone on Twitter, I'm pretty sure it was Mrs. Charlotte Vale, told us about this website. So it's Walking Death Pool. I'll put it in our show notes. I did go ahead and register the verdicts in. I registered this last night, I think. So at the time, it was just me, one player. Everyone else has like 3,000 players. So if you guys want to just get on the pool, it's just going to be fun. It's pretty much the who do you think is going to die. You can do it by the season, you can do it by the half season, or you can do it per episode. I did per episode. I haven't picked anyone yet. I want to see if anyone wanted to write in and give me an idea, or me and Gary talk about, because we haven't talked about it yet, who we think. So we'll put in a pick. You guys get in on the pool as well.
Yeah. Why don't you join the team?
Yeah, join the team. The name of our group is The Walking Dead Series. And then I put dash the verdicts in. So that's how you find it. Join and we'll have fun with that as well.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. As always, we greatly appreciate it. We will see you Sunday night for our instant cast of The Walking Dead. I'm Nicole.
And I'm Gary.
Good night.
Good night.